This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Peace and power.
You rely on KPFT when you take a few extra minutes to look back. KPFT helps you make sense of the events that rushed by over the previous days. The voices you hear on KPFT make a difference in how you understand the world. Your daily habit of radio is supported by listeners who make membership contributions. Call now with your pledge, 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. This is KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening and welcome to this edition of Queer Voices, starting a little bit late this evening. A beautiful Monday evening here in Houston. Tonight on our show, we're going to have Mike Harrison from the Montrose Counseling Center talking about a new coming out support group that starts on June 1st and issues surrounding the coming out process. We'll also be doing many segments from This Way Out, our national program that updates us on the news and stuff that's going on around the country. Then in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to Ray Hill. Even though he says he's retired, he is going to be talking about some of the things that he's still involved in. Also, Philip Maryland and actor Paul Hope from the Alley Act Out series is coming to talk to us. All that's coming up on this edition of Queer Voices. But before we get to our show, we're going to ask you to pick up the phone and pledge to KPFT, because we hope that you believe that this is an important program and that your support of KPFT means that we're able to provide you with many weeks of non-interrupted programming and public affairs that comes here only on KPFT and only on your Pacifica station here. The number here is 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. And that number is important. And by this time, if you listen to KPFT, you should probably have that number memorized. You also could go directly to the website, kpft.org, and pledge. And from my understanding, that if you pledge online at during this time, it does support our show. So, and there's many reasons, of course, to pledge and support this radio station. Among them is where else can you get this type of programming in the GLBT community? Where else can you get the public affairs that you don't hear anywhere else? So we're asking you to call us now at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
Have you listened to any of our special reports? Have you listened to the local and national discussions that looks at unique sides of an issue to help you think and understand? You have to admit, $10 or $20 a month is quite a bargain for reliable, intelligent news and information that is available all the time and wherever you are. The programming we bring you, the programming you love, only exists because you choose to financially support it with your membership. Membership is the foundation for KPFT. We must continue to add new programs to keep it strong. Be a part of a great tradition. We've made it simple and affordable, and it only takes a minute of your time. Call 713-526-KPFT or join online at kpft.org. This is KPFT Houston.
This is Queer Voices.
This is Jennifer Renee and...
And Greg Chapman.
And Deborah Bell.
Tonight we're with Mike Harrison, clinical psychologist, PhD, with Montrose Counseling Center. And we're going to talk to Mike about coming out support group that starts June 1st. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Well, tell us about it. the support group. Now, I know we talked in a program months ago about another time when the coming out support group was, isn't this the second one?
Or at least
the second one I've known of?
It's actually the second one that I've done. They've been offered at the Counseling Center for probably about 3 years now. We probably do them three times a year. So this will be the second one for this year. And like you said, it's going to be starting on June the 1st, which is Thursday night. It will run for about 8 weeks, every Thursday night, starting at 6 o'clock and runs to about 7:30.
And who's invited to this? Is it invitation? You have to call ahead, or what's the? How do you get in touch with you or the counseling center, basically, to
find out more about it? Certainly, you can call me at the counseling center. Do you want me to plug that number?
Yes, that's what I was trying to get the lead in for.
Okay, the telephone number at the counseling center is 713-529-0037, and my extension is 340. You can call me. It's not necessary that you call to come to the group. It's an open group. You don't have to be a client at the counseling center. Anyone who wants to come is more than welcome. We would kind of like to know how many are showing up, but if you just want to show up on Thursday night, June the 1st, unannounced, that would be great.
How does the group work?
As far as the topics that we're going to cover and sort of that sort of thing.
Do people have a chance to tell their stories? Are they counseled, or how does that work?
Sure. Well, one thing we want to make clear: it's not a psychotherapy group. It's not going to be a process group. What it is. The way the group works, about 45 minutes is going to be educational, psychoeducational. I get to stand up and play teacher, which is kind of fun. And then the last half of the group is open discussion. People share their stories. We talk about experiences that they have. Sometimes they talk about things that are scary for them in the coming out process. And what's really nice is that everybody else in the group can contribute to that. They can share their own stories. They can offer suggestions. So it's a way for people to talk about what's going on in their own lives.
And obviously, you don't actually have to have come out yet, right?
No, exactly. That's true. In fact, the group that I did back in March, we had several people who had not come out at all, and they were just thinking about it. And then we also, on the other end of the spectrum, we had one young lady who'd been out for 10 years, and she just wanted to come back because she had just moved back home to Houston and with her family. So this was kind of a coming out again for her.
I would think that for a lot of people, they may never have actually processed their coming out. I mean, it could have been very traumatic for them, and maybe they never really dealt with it.
That's true. Again, though, let me stress, we're not going to be doing psychotherapy
right.
in the group. This is just talking about different issues related to coming out, like
right.
how to come out to your family, for instance, how to come out at work, how to come out in the community. We do this one segment, which is really interesting, on gay and lesbian history. So we can talk about where we've come from in the past. You know, what are some of the big milestones that the gay and lesbian movement has come across?
Now, is it open to transgender also?
Yes, most definitely. It's open to everyone. We have we even invite straight people to come to our coming out group because they can learn something from us as well. Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know. You and I were talking.
You know how it is with those heterosexuals.
Exactly. You and I were talking a little bit earlier about transgender individuals coming, and it's my feeling that they face a lot of the same issues that gay and lesbians face in their coming out process. How to reconcile who you are as a person and to gain that self-acceptance, you know, so you can really be who you want to be and live your life the way you want.
What's the best advice that you can give someone for coming out for the first time? If you could encapsulate it into
three words or less?
Yeah, single best piece of advice.
Well, actually, it's something that we talk about throughout the whole series, and that is when you're ready to come out safely. We talk about the pros and cons of coming out, whether or not this is the right time in your life, what are the risks involved, what are the benefits involved. And we really try to stress to everyone that coming out, this is your process. You need to be in control of it. You need to do it very safely and very wisely.
So what does doing it safely look like? What does that mean?
Well, it would be if you were coming out to your family, you wouldn't probably want to come out to your cousin who has a big mouth and would let everybody else in the family know before you've had a chance to bring it up to everyone else. You want to do it carefully. You want to start with the
kinda
people
like
who are most important.
Kind of like I called my former sister Kay.
Exactly.
Do you come out to parents first or siblings?
You know, that's
is that individual for the person?
It's very individual. Some people find it safer and easier to come out to maybe a close brother or sister first. You know, someone that they can trust, they can confide in, they can sort of get a little practice. It could be that coming out to mom and dad is more scary than coming out to your brother or sister. It could just be the opposite. Maybe coming out to mom is going to be easier for some people. So, again, it's up to the individual themselves.
And I guess coming out can be an ongoing process that could take potentially years and years, even.
We like to say that it's probably a process you never fully complete. You know, it's going to be a process that you're going to deal with some aspect of coming out for the rest of your life. Because to live completely out, I mean, there's always going to be strangers who you meet. And you're going to have to choose whether or not you want to disclose your sexual orientation, you know, to them when you meet them. You know, which is, again, that part of that coming out process.
Well, I'm concerned about employment. You know, if you're in a job that's, you know, that you've been working at with no employment protection in this state, you know, this is a right to fire state, what suggestions would you have for that?
Again, do it very safely. You know, I mean, I can't stress that enough. I mean, and one of the risks involved is that if you decide to come out to your employer, and if you're in a very conservative company, you're right. They can terminate you, mm-hmm. you know. So you have to, again, weigh the risks, weigh the benefits, decide what's safe, what's right for you at any particular time.
Now, do you have a lot of young people there or old people? What middle, you know, come on, what kind of group is it?
Well, it's open to anyone at any age. It's primarily geared towards, you know, young adults on up. I think one of the youngest people we had in our last group was probably around 30 years old. But that's not to say, I mean, we can certainly take individuals who are, you know, 18 years or older who want to come to the group. I mean, they will get something out of it. We can take people who are in their 50s, 60s, or 70s who are coming out.
Is there a reason, you think? Are there just more support groups for the younger people?
It's been my experience that so many younger people are coming out these days. It's easier for them than it was when I was thinking about coming out. There's a lot more acceptance for younger people. It seems to be, you know, very common in the schools. A lot of schools have GSAs, you know, so the whole acceptance seems to be a little bit easier.
And GSAs are, for people who don't know, those are the
gay straight alliances,
right?
That some of the public schools are getting formed. You know, but so many kids, I mean, they're just so much more aware today of all the different issues. You know, everybody's watched Will and Grace, you know, so it's not like they're unfamiliar at all. You know?
Right. Well, hopefully they've watched Transgeneration, too.
That's true.
and Transamerica.
Transamerica.
And Brokeback Mountain and some of the other things that are out there. And there's more and more books available. There's help of organizations such as Hatch, which is at mm-hmm. the Counseling Center, and PFLAG. When I came out as an adult, having been married, having children, coming out to my mom, I sent her pamphlets from PFLAG, and I was in my early 30s.
PFLAG is a great, great resource, and so is Hatch for the young teenage kids who, I think it's ages, and don't quote me on this, I think it's 14 to 19, something like this. But it's a great organization that is housed at the Montrose Counseling Center. Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the single biggest obstacle for people in their ability to come out?
It's one of the issues that's called homophobia, which is more specifically, it's internalized homophobia. It's that hatred or fear of being gay. And you know, when we're growing up, I mean, our parents probably did not raise us to be gay. So all along the way, we picked up little bits and pieces of that it's not okay to be gay. And so now, dealing with coming out, we have to address those issues within ourselves and learn how to accept ourselves for being gay or lesbian and to say that that's okay.
They didn't train us to be, but all these straight parents, somehow we are. Is a religion a factor that prevents a lot of people? I know Greg has shared his personal story on National Public Radio in the segment they do called This, I Believe. And you want to talk a little bit about
well,
what was involved in that?
Yeah, well,
a struggle.
Well, for me, I was raised Southern Baptist, and
aww.
And yeah, well, and being gay was considered really the worst possible sin,
mm-hmm.
and it was you were not even really supposed to say the word in church. So because I recall someone actually almost saying it, and the Sunday school teacher quickly waved him down. So it wasn't even really talked about, and I thought that being gay meant you went to hell. And I didn't think there was anything around that, and I couldn't stop myself from being gay, so I was convinced I was going to go to hell, and I had a deep loathing for who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't come out until very late in life. I was 37 or thereabouts, because I really had to reconcile my self-hatred for who I was and my faith. And it was a very difficult process.
And to be able to maintain that faith,
right.
and honor it, and to know that you're still a child of God,
right.
in the terms that you believe.
Because I did not want to lose the faith by accepting the idea that I was gay. I wanted both.
Right.
And the answer was to go to another denomination.
I was going
to
say, you know, do I want to go to hell or live in hell?
Right, exactly. And what I tell people now is that when I denied who I was, that was hell.
That's it.
I was in hell. And being alone and hating yourself, there's nothing sacred or divine about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Deborah, during the coming out support group, we spend one evening talking specifically about spirituality and religion and how to go about, you know, reconciling those differences. You know, how can you be a good Christian and be okay with the church when the church is rejecting you? You know,
in my religion, there's a saying that all acts of love and pleasure are my rituals. So I knew that was the religion for me. And, of course, the first person that you have to come out to is...
Yourself.
That's right.
And I've known people that, I mean, it was like, gee, I went and slept with a woman. That's how I came out. But I know a lot of people that, like, study it for years. They read books. You know, they go online and do research and all of that before they ever even venture into the community.
Well, you know, it's sort of like getting into the swimming pool. Some people stick their little toe in first and leave it there for a little bit. And some people just jump in head first. So
yeah.
It's very individual.
Mm-hmm.
Very individual.
Mm-hmm. And again, the information about the group...
Yes, it's going to be starting on June the 1st. It's going to run every Thursday for 8 weeks. It's from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Montrose Counseling Center, which is 701 Richmond Avenue.
And near Montrose.
Very near Montrose, but it's on Richmond. And let me give you my telephone number one more time. It's Mike Harrison, and it's 713-529-0037, and my extension is 340.
And the website, in case people want to check out more about the counseling center there?
Let me see. I didn't bring my glasses, but it is www.montrosecounselingcenter.org.
We've been talking to Dr. Mike Harrison from the Montrose Counseling Center about issues about coming out and the new support group that starts June 1st. Thank you for being with us on Queer Voices. And once again, here is something that we bring to you on this program that's so important for us to be able to bring this information. Jack said last week, you know, you don't even have to be pledging for yourself, but think about that kid that may live out in Sugarland or the one in Kingwood or Alden who only access to community is to be able to tune into this radio station on Monday nights and show that you support that by calling and pledging 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. I know people that have said, you know, I heard you talk about the counseling center and I didn't know about all the services there, and I'm so glad that I did hear that on KPFT, because now, you know, I'm getting therapy, or I was able to connect to a group there or find out about more organizations. So that's what is so important. If you're in the process of coming out, here's a group that you can attend. If you Another way to continue that process is to continue to listen to Queer Voices. So call, pledge your support, pledge your support for those that may not otherwise be able to pledge. 713-526-5738.
Deborah, I thought you knew everything.
Well, almost.
Almost. Well, but you do have to listen to radio a little bit to catch up on some of the other things. And, you know, it was really interesting. Last week we had Dr. Steven Kleinberg on, who was fabulous. The next day he was on NPR nationally. And isn't it neat that sometimes we sort of get the scoop a little bit?
Yeah.
And it's not all about scoop. Actually, it's much more about information. And information that is given on a very adult level. It isn't screamed at you. It isn't yelled at you. And sometimes it's sometimes we have different opinions. It's not always the same thing. But KPFT does give that type of perspective. And KPFT is your hometown radio station. And we're basically around the corner. We're right in the neighborhood. And it's very important that you support this type of radio if you want to continue to get the type of stuff you hear on this radio station. Let's go out to the lobby and actually see if we have anybody to thank so far. Actually, it seems pretty quiet out there.
It is quiet out here, unfortunately. 713-526-KBT. I want to send a big thank you out to Diva House Productions for their generous contribution. We have volunteers out here in Pledge Central. Happy to take some calls.
And definitely, we have operators standing by. The phones are actually very quiet now, and you can ring them up at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. You know, we try to keep these pledge drives at a minimum. Sometimes we can't, but we do try to, because we want to do we really want to get into the programming and be able to talk about the things that we've been so fortunate to. You know, one of the interesting things about KPFT is that the programmers get to do the type of programming they want to do. As long as we're within the limits of the language and stuff like that, we get to choose, and because supposedly we're the experts in this subject. Supposedly we are. Sometimes I wonder myself. But we get to talk about, you know, different types of treatments for AIDS, you know, different types of, what's going on, what's the latest. And it's not filtered. We have people from the community who work in those organizations that actually come out and talk about it. We hear one phone ringing, but we need to hear four or five phone ringings so we can get back to talking about the things that we really like to do.
And Jack, you know, the number one best reason to pledge right now?
No, what is the number one reason?
If you pledge right now, then we can stop asking you for money and just go on with the programming and play music and talk about stuff and tell you what things are going on in the world. And there was just this big thing that happened in California where the state, the Senate, led by a lesbian, voted to have GLBT history in the school books. Now, we don't know if, you know, Governor
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Terminator. Yeah, the Terminator, Governator, that's what they call him, is going to sign that bill or not. But, you know, there's things going on all over every day. And one of the ways that you can learn about them, know about them, is to be listening to KPFT. Not just this program, but many of the other programs that bring up these subjects, certainly on After Hours, which is heard late Saturday night, early Sunday morning.
Well, speaking of After Hours, you know, our friend Jimmy's in the hospital.
Yes, much love.
Much love to Jimmy.
And I understand he's in some pain, so we hope for the best recovery soon. And, Jimmy has given an awful lot of his life and energy to this radio station.
That and to the Gulf Coast Archives and Museum, which is another way of preserving our history. Love you, Jimmy, and hope you're better soon and free of any pain.
Yeah, no, that was After Hours was the first time I was ever on the radio.
Yeah. And so call 713-526-5738.
Do it now.
Come on.
I'm sorry. 713-526-5738.
713-526-5738.
Or 713-526-KPFT.
Yes, we'll get it one of these days.
And, you know, there's another really good reason to give. For a lot of people in the GLBT community, this station is really their only connection. There are so many people in the community who are completely isolated. And, you know, because of all the discrimination out there, all the fear that people have, and this may really be their only connection.
Well, and some people talk about it. I've run into some people. They say, well, I just didn't listen to the radio at the time. I had some stuff to do on the computer. Do you know you can log on to our website and listen? And you can listen to the show while you're still on your computer.
And how do you do that? What's the website?
Oh, www.kpft.org.
And that's a very important thing, because not only can you listen to the program while it's on the air, but probably by tomorrow, this show will be archived for 60 days. So
that's
if you
right.
do miss the show, then, you know, maybe you had to listen to the president be on the air earlier. And
mm-hmm.
the speech about immigration and the hypocrisy that was spewing forth. But, sometimes you have other things you have to do. Maybe you're a soccer mom and you have to take the kids to soccer practice because, you know, we do have lesbian soccer moms. And whatever it is, for whatever reason, if you're not able to listen during our regular time of 8 to 10 p.m. on Monday nights, then you can listen to the archived version. And you can also listen to JD's wonderful queer music heritage. You can download programs from several years ago and
Absolutely.
Listen to queer artists. So that's enough pitching for now. We're going to play some music. We're going to let you dial that magic number, 713-526-5738.
If your heart always did what a normal heart should do, if you always play a part instead of being who you are, and you might just miss the one who's standing there. So instead of passing by, show him that you care. Instead of asking why me and why you, why not? The madness that we're taught, never questioning the rules that we're living lies we bought so long ago. How are they to know? It's not who's wrong or right, it's just another way. Always run. What we don't have is time.
That was Michael Callan from 1989, Love Don't Need a Reason. This is Queer Voices.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending May 13th, 2006. The Legislative Assembly of the Australian Capital Territory, or ACT, which encompasses the country's capital city of Canberra, approved civil unions legislation for same-gender couples this week. The Australian federal government doesn't recognize gay and lesbian unions legally contracted in its states, territories, or in other countries. In fact, revision last year to the nation's Marriage Act, pushed by Prime Minister John Howard's administration, specifically prohibits that. A spokesperson for Australia Attorney General Philip Ruddock, who had vowed to overturn the ACT measure if it conflicted with federal law, told the Associated Foreign Press that his government was happy with amendments to the legislation as originally proposed. The main issue was not requiring registered federal marriage celebrants to officiate at civil union ceremonies, although the spokesperson said Ruddock would still be checking all aspects of the law. A civil unions law passed in Tasmania in 2003 also allows a range of non-married-like or caring relationships to be registered, but the ACT legislation is only available to same-gender couples. It also obliges them to have an official ceremony, while the Tasmanian law doesn't require one. The legislation in both Tasmania and now the ACT allows a gay or lesbian couple to officially register their relationship, thereby gaining virtually all the rights under local laws given to heterosexually married couples, such as access to wills, powers of attorney, and medical consultation. ACT leader John Stanhope, who spearheaded the legislation, said the law as amended will still deliver recognition without conflicting with or changing the meaning of marriage. Peter Furness of the advocacy group Australian Marriage Equality called the move a very significant step forward in our push toward full legal equality under Australian law.
The incoming center-left Italian government of Romano Prodi will likely be proposing some form of legal recognition for same-gender couples there. But Pope Benedict XVI continues to condemn gays and lesbians, renewing his relentless attacks this week at a conference on marriage and the family. He's quoted as saying, "Only the rock of total and irrevocable love between a man and a woman is capable of being the foundation of building a society that becomes a home for all mankind. There is a special urgency today to avoid confusion with other types of unions based on a weak love." Franco Guilini, a newly elected openly gay leftist MP, charged the Pope with trying to meddle in secular politics and of ignoring the rights of millions of Italians who live together. Vladimir Luxuria, a member of Prodi's coalition who was elected to Parliament as Europe's first transsexual lawmaker, condemned the Pope for suggesting that homosexual love was weaker than heterosexual love, saying it was the duty of the state to recognize and regulate same-gender unions. In his remarks, the Pope also reasserted the Roman Catholic Church's position against any form of birth control. However, retired Milan Cardinal Carlo Maria Martini, a one-time papal contender, made headlines in late April with comments published in the Italian newsweekly L'Espresso, saying that condoms were the lesser evil in combating the spread of AIDS. A few days later, Cardinal Javier Lozano Barragan, who's in charge of the Vatican's healthcare ministry, told the Rome daily La Repubblica that soon the Vatican will issue a document about the use of condoms by persons who have grave diseases, starting with AIDS.
In U.S. couples news, a New Hampshire Superior Court judge ruled last week that the state must offer domestic partnership benefits to lesbian and gay government workers. The ruling was the result of two separate complaints filed with the state's Human Rights Commission in 2002 by Patricia Bedford and Anne Breen. They both work for the state's technical college, and each is raising a child with a lesbian partner. Merrimack County Judge Kathleen McGuire dismissed the state's argument that denying them partnership benefits was not discriminatory, because those benefits are also denied to unmarried heterosexuals. Noting that in New Hampshire, only heterosexuals can marry, McGuire wrote, "The state's attempt to couch the issue as one wherein all unmarried individuals are impacted equally avoids reality." New Hampshire Attorney General Kelly Ayotte plans an appeal to the state Supreme Court. Governor John Lynch says he supports giving benefits to gay and lesbian families, but that he won't interfere with the appeal.
Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich has issued an executive order extending domestic partnership benefits to state employees. Illinois becomes the nation's 13th state and the third largest to offer domestic partnership benefits to many of its state workers. Some state employees had already gained access to domestic partnership benefits under recently negotiated union contracts.
A U.S. federal appeals court has decided that it's at the state level that lawmakers and judges must grapple with the issue of marriage equality for gays and lesbians. A three-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals last week told a Southern California couple who'd challenged both state and federal laws limiting marriage to heterosexual couples that they'll have to await the outcome of state litigation already in progress. Those cases could reach the California Supreme Court by year's end. It is difficult, Judge Ferdinand Fernandez wrote, to imagine an area more fraught with sensitive social policy considerations in which federal courts should not involve themselves if there is an alternative.
Colorado voters could find many alternatives on their ballot in November. A proposal to create a statewide domestic partner registry with many of the rights of marriage, conceived by the state legislature as a public referendum, cleared its last hurdle this week in the Colorado House of Representatives. But the measure could have a lot of company on the ballot. It's prompted two anti-queer groups to collect signatures for ballot initiatives, one to add an amendment to the state constitution defining marriage as hetero only, and another that would bar legal recognition of any union deemed similar to marriage. Lesbian gay rights advocates then filed their own last-minute initiative to counter the latter proposal, one that would specifically define domestic partnership as not similar to marriage. There's a low threshold in Colorado for the number of signatures required to qualify ballot initiatives, so in theory, all four proposals could be on the ballot, and all four could win voter approval. It's likely that Colorado courts would eventually have to interpret the results. Sean Duffy of the queer advocacy group Coloradans for Fairness and Equality called the current situation clear as mud.
In Canada, the Nova Scotia Human Rights Commission this week awarded Halifax West High School physical education teacher Lindsay Willow $27,000 in damages almost 6 years after two of her colleagues accused her of inappropriate sexual behavior with a 17-year-old female student. Even though the student said nothing of the sort had happened, the school principal nevertheless felt compelled to call in the police. Their investigation determined that there had been no wrongdoing. Willow's complaint with the Human Rights Board charged that she was accused of inappropriate behavior because she was believed to be a lesbian, and that the allegations ruined her health, tarnished her reputation, and damaged her career prospects. The Board of Inquiry found that the Halifax Regional School Board, a former teacher, and the then principal discriminated against Willow because of her perceived sexual orientation. In addition to the $27,000 awarded to Willow, the board also awarded damages of $2,500 to the student involved in the allegations.
The California Senate approved a bill this week requiring inclusion in public school social science curricula of the contributions of LGBT people. If it clears the assembly and is approved by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, far from assured, the measure could have a significant national impact because California is one of the country's largest customers of school textbooks. Openly lesbian Democratic State Senator Sheila Kuehl authored the bill, which requires the teaching of age-appropriate information about the historical contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. Republican Senator Bill Morrow, however, called the measure dangerous, shockingly claiming to the Sacramento Bee newspaper that there is not one scintilla of credible scientific evidence to suggest that homosexuality is biological in origin. But Democratic Senator Richard Alarcon said the revised curriculum would allow the state to teach tolerance. As he told the Bee, "Let's give the next generation a chance to do better than we did."
And finally, a lesson in perseverance and what bad publicity can do, concluded this week for some young queer activists in the Northern California city of Los Altos, according to a story in the San Jose Mercury News. The issue was a pride parade scheduled for June 4th by the city's teens. The council has even dithered over whether to support requests by the Los Altos High School Gay-Straight Alliance for Gay Pride Day resolutions. This year, it even approved an ostrich-like motion to ban further discussion of any resolutions involving sexual orientation. The proposed teen pride parade downtown, featuring floats, bands, and other local LGBT youth groups, has been strenuously opposed by the council for the past 2 years. The ongoing controversy has ignited months of publicity, mostly negative, and reaching far beyond the city limits. In an apparent about-face, the Los Altos City Council this week unanimously approved a permit for the Teen Pride Parade.
And that's News Wrap for the week ending May 13th, 2006. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written this week by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Greg Gordon. Its first episode aired on September 21st, 1998, early in the post-Ellen era of American television. Queer characters were still a rarity, and NBC's introduction of a gay character in the title role of a sitcom was considered a bold move. But from the very start, Will and Grace had smash hit written all over it, a fact that was clear to our Steve Pride when he visited the set of the show shortly after its maiden broadcast.
Lucifer, found. Oh. Blah, blah, blah. He goes to the chair.
On a small soundstage in Studio City, a new sitcom called Will and Grace is being taped. By now, you've probably already heard about it or even seen an episode. So what's the big deal? It's just another NBC sitcom on Monday night, right? Yes and no. In the lesbian and gay community, its debut has been eagerly anticipated as it brings the first post-Ellen sign of gay life on the small screen. It's also a slick, sophisticated comedy about the gay-straight dynamic. Will is gay, Grace is straight, and Will's friend Jack is very gay.
Hey, Roomie! Jack, you can't move in tonight.
What?
Grace is very upset. I told her she could stay here tonight. You move in tomorrow.
Okay, that's interesting. You'd think maybe you could have told me this, oh, I don't know, before I packed up my entire life.
You don't understand. Grace has had a really... What's in the hat box? Your tiara?
Well, he made us funny.
Shut up,
Will. I just slept all the way over here from the east side, and you know how much Guapo hates riding a taxi.
Hey, take it easy, Jack. You sound just like your mother.
Crossing the line. Okay, you nasty, bitter, lonely, balding man. I don't need this crap from you, Will. You know what? I just don't need it.
What time tomorrow?
8 is fine.
Jack is played by actor Sean P. Hayes, and this season he has the distinction of being one of the few openly gay actors playing an openly gay character in a sitcom. But he makes it clear this doesn't make him the new Ellen.
I'm not Ellen because I don't have breasts, but Ellen is one of the funniest people I've ever seen in my life. She makes me pee in my pants, but... As her show and our show is a little different, she tried to educate, I think. This show does not try to educate at all. It's purely to entertain. It's not sticky. It's a totally different sitcom. I think the gay issue of the sitcom is not even addressed unless it's brought up. So every episode is not about being gay. If it's brought up, then we acknowledge it, but it's definitely not shoving anything down anybody's throat.
Recently, I met with the creators and executive producers of Will and Grace, David Cohen, who's straight, and Max Munchnick, who's gay. They've been friends since high school and also produced Boston Common and were writers for the Dennis Miller Show, Hearts of Fire, and Dream On. Cohen told me a bit about the premise of Will and Grace.
It originally started, I guess, with the question that was raised. Can a man and a woman ever really just be friends without sex getting in the way? What's the nature of platonic love now, and is it achievable and is it attainable? And it seems to me that this is the kind of relationship between a gay man and a straight woman where that's most pervasive, you know, that where that is possible.
I ask if casting a straight actor, Eric McCormick, in the role of Will makes a difference in the public's acceptance of a gay lead character.
I don't know. I really don't know. All I can say is it had absolutely nothing to do with the choice. I mean, it never does. I mean, you realize when you go through the casting process that your goal is simply to find the best person for the role, and that it would be a luxury to say, hey, we need an actor who should be straight, or you know, we need a gay actor to play a gay part or a straight actor. It's like, you don't have that luxury. There's usually one, maybe two people you think of who could do the part.
But if it helps, I mean, because as businessmen, obviously, our goal is to get as many people as possible interested in this entertainment program. And if it helps people out there to buy into the show,
Great. That's just a fortunate byproduct.
Yeah. A great deal of the show's humor comes from the relationship between Will and his flamboyant friend Jack. And some early media reports were critical of the over-the-top portrayal of a gay man.
I think that the character of Jack is a gay character that possibly people are more familiar with, and now all of a sudden that's being called a stereotype, when in fact if you really look inside this character, which is just actually watching the show, he's not a stereotype in that
and that there are a lot of people we know who are a lot like Jack. I think it's actually very sort of reflexive, kind of a knee-jerk response by a critic to say that. It's simplistic. Here's a guy who occasionally, you know, who if he sings occasionally, or once actually, I think, sings a show tune or twice, and therefore he's a stereotype. Well, a lot of guys we know do that.
Will and Grace's director is James Burroughs, and he was quoted in The Advocate as saying that Sean Hayes' Jack could be the next Kramer or Urkel. I ask Munchnick and Cohen, is America ready for a gay Urkel?
I don't know. That actually is a very frightening image, isn't it?
I don't think a gay guy would ever wear his pants up that high.
Okay, so dumb. So strange.
Munchnick and Cohen say their gay lead character, Will Truman, won't find romance right away, but he won't end up a pseudo-queer like Matt on Melrose Place. For Pride on Screen, this is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
That was a look back at Will and Grace, soon after its birth in late September 1998. The groundbreaking show's final episode airs this week, but thanks to its successful 8-year primetime TV run, Will and Grace will live on for many more years in syndication heaven.
Monster underneath the bed, they will devour you. You
Kind of Love. That was Meg Hinch's. This is Queer Voices.
And here we are, sitting here waiting for the phones to ring because we need the money. We need it for chairs in the studio. We need it for the handle on the door. We need it to pay the electric bill. We need it so that you can hear queer voices, queer music, queer culture on the radio in Houston, Texas, and in Galveston, Texas at 89.5. In Houston, it's 90.1 FM. And all over the world on the web at www.kpft.org. You know, we do have people that listen on the web and pledge. And we want you to be one of those people. So just go to through the website. You can pledge. Even if you're listening now and you're right here in Houston, you might be like right down the street on Grossstark or Dunleavy or somewhere, you can still use the website to make your pledge to KPFT, www.kpft.org, or call, because we have some very lovely volunteers out there that are
anxious. Well, they're not so lovely, but they are.
Oh, don't say that.
They are hardworking.
Oh, here's the pitch man himself.
Right, they are hardworking, and I just waded through them and looked over what little snacks are left to give them nourishment. What they really need is your enthusiasm to give them nourishment, because there's nothing, the pantry is bare at
this
hour.
That's the point I was trying to make, Ray Hill, that our listeners should call 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. And of course, joining us in the studio is the
citizen provocateur.
Oh, I just love that term.
The Supreme Court of the United States gave me that title, and I think you're obliged to wear any title that the Supreme Court gives you. Which reminds me, I've just got through writing the essay for the upcoming issue of Outsmart.
The essay on?
On the third anniversary of the Lawrence case.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Big deal. All of a sudden, on one day, June, what was it? Jack, June 26th.
It was just about to the day of Stonewall.
It was 3 days before our Pride Week parade in 2003, and on that date, we became for the first time in recorded history just ordinary citizens.
Yay.
Prior to that date, we were criminals in some jurisdiction.
Well, we were only criminals if we took place in certain same-sex sexual behavior.
No, that's not the way society looked at it at all. Different.
Well, I'm not saying that's not the way society denied, I'm saying that was what the law said.
They never enforced the law anyway. I mean, I didn't live in fear they were going to kick my door down and prosecute Section
2106. No matter how many times we violated that law.
That's right. And listen, I started violating that law back when it was a felony offense. And people did go to prison, but not many. But we've never lived in fear of that. But when it came to making the application to become a police officer, when it came to get a license to be a doctor, if you were known to be gay or lesbian, you were denied that right because, literally, according to the law, you were a criminal because you did criminal things. And I don't want to underestimate that, because that was the law of the land, and that's how 2106 and other laws were used. They weren't prosecuted so that people went to jail and prison. They were used as an excuse to discriminate.
That's very true. And do you feel, as I do, that as much as it tortured them to have to rule in our favor in that case, it will be the basis, will it not, of
everything else?
Everything else.
Yeah. I mean, after the criminal piece was resolved, then the rest of it is going to fall like ripe fruit from the tree. That doesn't mean that discrimination is going to go away. That doesn't mean that prejudice is going to go away. That's what this show is about. This show is to stand proud and role model, not so much for straight people, although it's nice to have straight allies out there listening and supporting KPFT for the wonderful thing it does for their gay and lesbian and transgendered and bisexual and intersex questioning and allies. What it is we reinforce our own people. Because let me tell you something about equality and liberty and even justice. Those things are not something that people bring and give to you. I mean, the English didn't come over here and say, well, I think we're going to give the Americans independence. That's not how that happened.
And they didn't suddenly say, oh, we're going to let women vote.
No, that's not how that happened.
No.
How that happens is for you to declare your equality and to declare your independence and declare your liberty.
And takes people like Rosa Parks saying,
you have to
no,
fight for
I'm
it.
Not giving up this seat on the bus to that white man. I'm staying where I am.
And then it is a defensive battle because then it's up to them to come take it away from you. And that's what Queer Voice is about. Queer Voice is about telling you that you are equal. That you are entitled to liberty, you are entitled to justice, you are entitled to independence, and you're entitled to be who you are, wherever you are. And if you go ahead and be those things, then it's up to somebody else to come try and take it away from you. And if you fight a defensive battle, which is eminently easier than an offensive battle, you can maintain that. And a very important part of that, since 1975, has been the gay and lesbian, transgendered, bisexual, intersexed, questioning, and allied programming on radio station KPFT. You notice this show is not on other non-commercial radio stations. You notice this show is not on Christian radio. You notice this show is not on commercial radio. It's on Pacifica. Why is it on Pacifica? Well, as one of the co-founders of Pacifica, and the only co-founder still active in the community, there were four of us. There was Deborah Danberg, there was Larry Lee, there was Don Gardner, and there was Ray Hill. Larry died. Don is involved in television in Austin. Deborah Denberg's having a love affair with a house in Galveston. And so the only one still active in this community is Ray Hill. And I just happened to have been the only out gay one. I certainly wasn't the only gay one, but I was the only out gay one.
And, of course, Ray has retired
from active role in gay politics.
Right. But he is still a citizen provocateur.
But the point I'm trying to make, Deborah, is that since the very inception of KPFT, we have been in the mix.
True.
And when I got out of prison in 1975, I embarrassed the community to come back here and doing Wildenstein, which I did for a good many years. And the reason I did Wildenstein is because we needed a voice on the radio. And unlike the programs that have followed it, I actually baited the rednecks to call in because I had a lot of fun mixing it up with them. And you can't lose an argument if you're in charge of the buttons and the switches. All right. I mean, Rush Limbaugh knows that. And I have known that for a good many years. You got the buttons and switches. You always win all arguments because you get the last word. So I'm asking you to support the only radio station in the Texas Gulf Coast that actually supports you. Now you say, oh my gosh, I mean, how do you expect gay people to support that sort of thing or members of the broad, inclusive gay community? Well, let me tell you how I do that.
Call.
Yeah, you call. You call 713-526-5738. Now, a lot of you are dyslexic, and a lot of you have trouble with numbers. So if you spell better than you count, that is 713-JAM-KPFT.
Or 713-526-KPFT. And speaking of that person that has control of the buttons...
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky, Joan Devlin, J.D. Doyle, and Glenn Holt.
Hey! Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy.
Ray, and we're talking, of course, to Ray Hill. What are you up to these days?
Well, I've got I'm working on a new piece for the Philadelphia Fringe, which is coming up in September. It's about my journey from being a teenage Baptist evangelist to being an atheist gay activist.
Let me ask you here. You've done how many one person plays so far? Different ones.
I've done six.
Six. Okay. So you got three more. Yeah. Three more left. Okay.
No, I've got more than that. Yeah, I've got more than nine lives. I do this in pieces. The people from CDC Canada is going to make another attempt to do the Woodlands 10 story. I think my headphones are dropping out because you're playing with the cord. That's what the problem is. Yeah, right. Well, they're not working, so I'll just set them down.
Okay.
And we'll do this live. Okay.
So, and how did you get this connection with Philadelphia?
Well, I got a call from a producer in Delaware who is big with the Philly Fringe. And so he called me and said, I would like for you to come to appear and do your prison show piece. And so we got that all under contract and all of that, and I went up there to do it and did it. And actually, that was a very successful venture.
Yes, I heard it. Actually, I think I read a review somewhere.
The reviews were great, and the venue was just wonderful. And so I am the darling of the Philly Fringe, and they're looking forward to my new piece. I'm actually going to do a shorter version of that at the Wirt Road Unitarian Fellowship in October. They don't have time for me to go up there and be Sunday morning preacher and do the whole thing, but I'm going to appear there with Ruby Randall and her son Galen, who was one of the Woodlands 10. We're going to go up there and talk about restorative justice.
And I guess this is sort of your theme of your prison show, that there is life after.
Yeah, there. People know of me. People that listen to Queer Voices know of me in the context of my activism in the gay community, and there's been a lot of that, and there was a good bit of success in that effort. I have helped carry us by providing a minor role in the leadership from the 60s through the Lawrence decision. But after the Lawrence decision came down, I did inventory, and I found that's what I set out to do, was make us legal. And so the following year, I announced my retirement from active role in gay politics.
Yes, there's still battles to be fought, though.
Oh, yeah, but it's for others to fight them. Just look at the people that are now in the leadership. They're the most diverse group of people I've ever had a chance to work with in my life. They're a significant percentage of them are women. There are some transgendered people in leadership roles in Houston, which has been long overdue. There are black Hispanics, there are Middle Eastern, there are Asians that are available either in leadership roles or in line to assume them. And those people can represent our diversity far better than an old white guy who has to pull back his white privilege blinders every morning and figure out how to approach those issues from that diversity. And so I needed to get out of the way because I was occupying too wide of a band at the top of the leadership role. So the only way I knew how to do that is to announce retirement.
What kind of advice can you give?
There's a lot of work to be done. Staff hours mean everything. We need paying positions and roles of leadership. I could go on. I could go on and on. Yes. But the fact of the matter is, there's no sense in asking me to do that. You read the books. Read everything you can get your hands on by Martin Luther King, Saul Alinsky. Study the people that have actually changed the course of history in the last couple of three generations, and you'll know how it's done. It's not an exact science, but it's not a secret formula either.
Well, do you think that the Republicans using the gay marriage or maybe the gay adoption is getting old?
Well, everything has a shelf life. I mean, go to the grocery store and pick up anything on the shelf and turn it over and look at the back and there's an expiration date. And that's true of ideologies as well. I kind of like to use Murdoch as my metaphor of the ideology. He owns Fox news and media empire.
And tons of newspapers.
And tons of newspapers.
And all around the world.
And he will learn the same lesson that William Randolph Hearst learned in the early part of the last century. You can fool all of the people all of the time, or some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. And actually, these two centuries began very similarly. We were in the midst of the Spanish-American War at this time in the 20th century, and now we're in 21st century. We're stuck in Iraq, and their media created propaganda wars. And those things are very familiar. The cycle of what goes around and comes around is getting a lot shorter if we make the same damn fool mistakes every 100 years. That's dangerous.
Didn't Laura Bush come out recently and say that she was advising against using the gay community as a wedge issue?
Well, Laura Bush is the sounding board. She goes out there, and she's not in a position of authority, and in Republican think she will never be in a position. She's got to keep a woman's place. Just because you have somebody saying something that sounds reasonably familiar, that's keeping the leaks in the boat from filling it with water too soon. You didn't hear Dick Cheney say that. He's got a gay daughter. He
right.
won't say
they just came
like
out
that.
With a new book.
Just came out with a new book, which was it's getting the reviews it deserves, and I won't have to go into that. Just, you know, pick up any review of It's My Time Now and take a peek and see what kind of literature this is, because the reviews are universal. It's borderline fraud, political fraud, and so even gay people got. Whenever the Chronicle gets around to running the article, I'm resigning from my active role in the community planning group for HIV prevention because of federal policy, in the face of the fact that recently they appointed a gay person in the National Institute of Health hierarchy. And they also, at the same time, appointed a person from the religious right extremist group in one position, two rounds higher of the openly gay person that they appointed. So it's they're throwing out mixed messages, but I don't think any of that's going to do anything about Bush's figures. But who cares? He's been lame ducks. They keep saying, well, he's going to go into lame duck standard. He went into lame duck standard on November the 8th.
That's
2 years ago.
So
right.
True. Well, it's really unfortunate that our grandchildren are paying for his mistakes, even though some of us don't have grandchildren.
Well, I mean, we might get another Bill Clinton and pay that off before it's over with, you know. That can happen. I mean, I was shocked after Bill Clinton had been president for 4 years that actually this enormous debt that Ronald Reagan had run up had been cut severely. And the time it was over, he was building up surpluses. Leadership does matter.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, we have two openly gay elected officials in the city of Houston that were elected citywide. Sure. Is that something you would hope to see?
For a couple offices. Well, sure. As a matter of fact, I kept running until my niece got elected. And Anise Parker grew up to be the woman I intended for her to be. And she's doing a wonderful job. And Sue Lovell is doing a really marvelous job. I think I'm probably the only person in the city that actually watches Channel 16. And I've been watching Sue as her performance. She's about policy. She's about principle. She's about issues. And it's very clear. She doesn't open her mouth on the chicken stuff. She goes straight for the policy issues and the issues, and she deals with them very well. And she's got a good staff, energetic staff, and she's very demanding. Sue Lovell is fine, doing well. I'm glad I voted for her.
Yes, I'm glad we helped get her elected. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, and, you know, we still have a lot of issues. I mean, and those are universal issues. There's universal issues of health care and mm-hmm. education that still needs a lot mm-hmm. of work on, mm-hmm. and we just do what we can.
No, actually, we provide leadership for a lot of things. You know, the amazing thing is gay people. When I use the term gay, I'm talking about a broad, inclusive thing because it took all of us. When AIDS hit, it was devastating. I lost 200 friends to HIV. I've had seven sure. wonderful men in my life. Four of them died of AIDS. Two of them were murdered. So I know about violence. I know about AIDS and the cost of it. But this community, and we're too busy still doing it to talk about it. We did not tuck tail and run. I don't think you can find another incident in all of history, and I'm a great student of history.
You lived a lot of it.
I've lived a lot of it. It's true. Where a similarly disenfranchised, despised, negative valued group of people faced a major pandemic or tragedy and didn't run away from it. We ran toward it. We all paid extra taxes. Our mm-hmm. businesses paid extra taxes.
Mm-hmm.
People took into their comfortable homes people that had never lived in a home before because of a commitment that no one with AIDS should die on the street, certainly no gay person with AIDS. And now the disease has moved. The table that I sit at in the community planning group for HIV prevention is supposed to look like the disease, and at one time it was all white gay men. And then we began to take, as the disease shifted, we began to take on people with different characteristics. The majority of the table is now women of color of childbearing age, because that's where the new infections are, and that's where the target audiences is, and that's who needs to do the thinking and the planning. But gay people are still there. Gay men, lesbians, transgendered people are all involved in that activity. The question is not how many gay people you have. The question is who of all the people we have is gay, because there's no lines delineating us. We're
right.
A group of people strategizing around. And what that has meant, when we began with community planning groups, there were 250,000 new HIV infections a year, and we got that down to about 40,000 a year. That's a very significant. And we did most of that with education. And now that we would like to make advances on that 40,000 plateau where we've been for almost a decade now, what we're running into is the federal government wants to siphon money off from that project and put it into building a list of people who are infected with their telephone numbers and their addresses where they can be contacted. I don't know what that's about. The Homeland Security solution to the HIV problem is very strange to me, but we don't need to be putting our resources into those computers in that gathering business.
Well,
we need to continue education on those target audiences.
Yeah, we know we'll screw it up, but the siphoning away the money is the real concern, certainly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Ray, thank you for joining us. And
can I say one more time?
Yes, please do.
What we do with this program is we bring and we lift and we lighten, we encourage.
We sometimes argue.
Of course we argue. We're supposed to. That's the way you refine ideas, is with argument. I've never been one to shriek away from debate. But this program is here because you are there. And I don't know where you are on your journey of being out, and most of you are a lot further along than you were when we began these broadcasts in 1975. But this is still a vital radio station, whether you're out or not out. This is a vital radio station to give you the kind of information you need to live a good, positive, and productive life. And that begins with your making a commitment to it. public radio is where I live. I mean, I've been in this business almost as long as Bill Moyers, and so I think a great deal, place a great deal of value on public radio. Public radio belongs to you. Support it. 713-526-5738. Thank you, Jack. Thank you to the staff. Appreciate all your staff down here working hard.
You have a great staff.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Queer Voices.
And I'm not going anywhere, so was Mark Islam from 1998, a track titled Get Used to It. This is Queer Voices.
You know, Ray said some very eloquent things about KPFT and about the fact that we are been broadcasting GLBT programming since 1975 continuously on this radio station, probably a record for any radio station in the world.
That's like, what, 31 years?
It's too long to even count.
I'm not that good at math, but...
Neither, yes.
I would have to say it's 31 years.
It's a long time.
Some people weren't even born then. They're listening
like
to this
most
program.
Of us,
yes.
Right. Uh-huh.
Right.
My children were born then.
Well, you know what I always like to say during pledge time?
What do you always like to say?
I like to remind everybody that those of us who are listening to the show are participating in the show by listening, and of course by all the other things that you do in the community. And it's also your chance to participate in the show by becoming a member of KPFT and or simply just pledging to the radio station and showing management that you care about the kind of programming that we are doing here right now, which is kind of a pseudo-rating system for us. It kind of lets people up in the front office know that, hey, there's actually people listening to Queer Voices, and they like what they're hearing, and they're supporting it. So,
and some people might like to hear the news. Some people might like to hear This Way Out. Some people might like to hear the music. Some people just like to hear the sound of Jennifer's voice.
And some people may like to hear less of us talking.
And if they want to do that, the best way to do that is to pledge now, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. What we want to hear is the sound of phones ringing.
I have the lobby mic open, and I'm not hearing any ringy-dingy.
It is very quiet out there, and in fact, we have volunteers standing by. Volunteers who are interested
sitting.
In helping.
They're sitting.
Sitting by. Yeah. But you can call us now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
We have another segment of This Way Out coming up, and then we're going to have Philip Mayard and Paul Hope from The Alley to talk with us about the latest and last of this season, their Act Out series, which is Agatha Christie's Witness for the Prosecution. So,
who's Witness for the Prosecution?
Agatha Christie. Witness for the Prosecution. And so stay tuned for that.
We're talking about attention deficit
but
disorder.
But while you... What? So while you...
See what I mean?
While you're waiting to... And while This Way Out is playing, go ahead and call 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
Something that I never said, a story that I've never shared. I was only 20 years old, he was a love affair.
Levi Christ is one of the ones who made it out of so-called reparative therapy into a life of self-acceptance and empowerment. So One of the Ones is a fitting title for his latest CD, an intimate collection of songs illustrating the intricacies of human relationships. This Way Out's Steve Pride had the chance to chat with the now out singer-songwriter about his life and music.
My name is Levi Kreis. I'm from East Tennessee, originally. Spent the last 7 years in Los Angeles pursuing a career in singer-songwriting.
Singer-songwriter Levi Kreis was in the national tour of Rent, played Matthew McConaughey's younger brother in the film Frailty, has a hot album, and was featured in an episode of The Apprentice last season. But for this rising gay icon, it was a long road to self-acceptance.
I grew up in a little small town called Oliver Springs. There was a graduating class of 5 people. I was a valedictorian with a C average. It was a really small town. My family was very active in the church. They were fundamental Baptist in my house. Dancing was a sin. It was very rigid. We weren't allowed to listen to anything but Christian music. Of course, country music kind of leaked in there, as it would, being from East Tennessee. But I was actually a very sincere boy, you know. By the time I was 12 years old, I was traveling to a different church every weekend and preaching and singing and playing the piano. And for all intents and purposes, I thought I was going to launch into a career of Christian music and win souls to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And by the time I was in junior high school, my fundamental Baptist upbringing prompted me to become members of Exodus International, which is a conversion Christian counseling group where they convert you from homosexuality and make good heterosexual men of you.
Just an ordinary man thrown into the life I didn't plan. Suddenly my world has changed. I'm unprepared to make my way.
I was in there for 6 years, and it was the entire time behind my parents' back. They had no idea that I was doing that, but it was such an important thing for me, as I felt like such an abomination to God at the same time. And the way I saw it then, if that was a part of me, then there was just no way that God could use me or accept me or love me. It wasn't until my first year of college that I began to kind of think for myself and begin to define my own religious beliefs through my own questions, building it brick by brick. What is my foundation for life now? I still respect my family's fundamental Baptist upbringing. You know, we don't seem to really have any sort of butting of heads in that regard. And at the same time, though, it's just brought me to a place now where there's such a peace about pursuing music now that is openly, honestly gay, and also with the intent to try to write things that still relate to everyone, and also maybe provide a suggestion of positivity and healing, hopefully, where people can listen to it and actually feel like their spirit's been elevated. So I guess there's a little bit of that preacher boy still in me, because I still have that desire to kind of touch people on a spiritual level or an emotional level at some point.
But I've seen their fate is a big answer. There's a time when we all must decide. Step on up with the wisdom and power, and say, children, let's give up the fight.
Exodus didn't manage to cure his homosexuality, but still, Levi Christ's musical career could have been very different.
I had signed a Christian record deal. The story goes that I was in my dorm room at my college, and there was a fellow there who had seen me fervently studying like these three different translations of the Bible and a Strong's Concordance, and I was beginning, you know, as I told you, Steve, just starting to try to think for myself and really begin to see how I interpret, without anyone's suggestion of interpreting, what I believe, who God is, or what the Bible might say about all this. And he just in continuous inquiry about what on earth I could be studying, I finally broke down and told my roommate that I was dealing with the issue of homosexuality. So he went to the Baptist Student Union of the college and told them. They went to the board of directors of the college, and I was kicked out of college. And an intern at my label happened to go to the same college and told the label, and I had lost the Christian record deal. They dropped me.
After years of bouncing from label to label and attempts to repackage him as everything from Christian rocker to boy band heartthrob, Levi Christ decided to release his first album last fall under his own Likas Picas logo. The album, called One of the Ones, is not only critically acclaimed, but it's his official coming out recording.
Too many nights I fed from the ruin of manic pursuits that left nothing to gain. In desolate bars, drowning in whiskey, back rooms with boys that don't have a name. At some point we all want the same, to live and let go of the pain. So maybe it's time that I tear down the walls, open my eyes,
Lyrically, Levi is intimate, almost confessional. But given his conservative Christian roots, can lyrics about boys in back rooms and drowning in whiskey be autobiographical?
Extremely autobiographical. I think coming from a fundamentalist background, it's not uncommon for one to act out another extreme after being forced into a certain extreme growing up. And so when I first moved to L.A., I did what any, like, you know, 21-year-old would do, where you just kind of go out and you just have experiences. You know, I had never even kissed a guy until I was 20. So I kind of got rowdy like any young 20-something does, and, you know, the whole writing of Love in Another Light, which is the song you're referring to, was kind of the moment back then when I realized, well, this is all well and good, but it's kind of like just jumping through the same hoops with nothing really left to take home at the end of the night that means anything. And with that being a part of my desire now, I just kind of am patiently waiting for something of substance these days.
This has been a conversation with singer-songwriter Levi Christ. For more info on Levi, visit his website at levichrist.com. That's L-E-V-I-K-R-E-I-S. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, John Beaupre, Rex Wattner, Graham Underhill, and Steve Pride contributed program material, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out exclusively on planetout.com. There's also a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please visit thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air. To sign up for our weekly email program information messages and or our monthly This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 5KIX Kangaroo Island, South Australia, WOJX Northampton, Massachusetts, Radio Free Asheville, Asheville, North Carolina, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
And that is this community radio station, your community radio station. And you need to help support this station by calling in your pledge, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, or go to the web so you can listen while you pledge. That's not like whistling while you work, but
something
it's
something like that. www.kpft.org.
Yeah, it's listening while you pledge, because we're going to have a very interesting interview now with my good friend Philip Mayard from the Alley. He is the Act Out coordinator, and this is the last Act Out production of this season that we're going to be talking about. And then also our good friend who's been with us many times on Queer Voices, Paul Hope, who is a member of the Alley Theater Resident Company of Actors, and he portrays Carter in Witness for the Prosecution, and he has portrayed many other roles in many other plays over the years. And I still think you were flawless in Jeffrey.
Oh, thank you.
I forget the name of the character in that play, but
Sterling.
Yes, you were flawless. you can't do better than that if you're a diamond, or you know. We'll start off by first of all, what is the Act Out series, Philip?
Act Out is the Alley's gay, lesbian,
patron program. We gather once out of every Hubbard Stage production, the first Thursday. Our final event for the season is this Thursday, May 18th. We do a pre-show party where we have free-flowing beverages of various types, and we have food from Hunan. We meet up on the 14th floor of the Alley Production Center for a great party overlooking downtown, and then everybody goes down and sees the show together.
And it's great fun. It's really nice to meet people that are also interested in theater, and the refreshments are wonderful, and you have the DJ.
Oh, yeah. We have a great DJ, DJ Mike Bell, who spends down at 6 Degrees on Main Street. He's a great guy. He also happens to work at the Alley, so that's worked out very nice for us.
How about that?
So, yeah, great music, really fun people. The program really has taken off much bigger than I ever expected that it would.
Yeah, now, isn't this also a fundraiser?
This particular event is we're doing this is partially a fundraiser for the PFLAG Hatch Youth Scholarship Foundation. Basically, if you want to save money on tickets, you can mention the promotional code PFLAG, and 20% of your ticket dollars will be going to the PFLAG Hatch Youth Scholarship Foundation. You can buy those tickets online as well at www.alleytheater.org. So you get a great party, you get a discounted ticket, and you support this really great scholarship fund for gay and lesbian students in our community.
And that's one of the aspects of the Act Out series. There's always a component that helps a community organization. And that's one another reason that it's really special and another way to enjoy theater and also do a good cause. The PFLAG, of course, is Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, and Hatch, which is the youth group that is from the Montrose Counseling Center. And you know what? You said we could give away a pair of tickets, but since we have the phones switched, I don't remember what number it is. We have to have people call in to give away that pair of tickets. Someone from the control room will give me that number in a moment, and we'll give it out. But you will have to answer a special question. Or we could do it this way. We could say the next person who calls and pledges.
Sorry, Deborah, we can't do it.
Oh, we can't.
Nope.
We can't do that.
Nope.
What can we do?
We can sit there and look pretty.
Well, I'm always good at that.
We're all tens on the radio.
But we can't say the next person that pledges can win the tickets?
No, because all the phones are switched over.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. They'll have to call the pledge line and pledge.
Yeah, but they don't know anything about that, what you're doing.
If they're listening, they do.
Go on.
Don't make it hard. I would say that if you pledged 713-526-5738 and you can tell us that who benefits from the this production of Witness for the Prosecution, you can win a pair of tickets for this Thursday night. How does that sound? And anyway, so I don't think we even said that the name of the play was Witness for the Prosecution.
That's the first time. Yes. What's the for those out in the audience who don't know the Agatha Christie mysteries?
But Agatha is just a hard word
Agatha
to say.
Agatha Christie. All you have to do is say
Agatha. Agatha.
Tell us what's the play about.
Well, it's very different from most Agatha Christie mysteries. I've done, I think, every one that they've done at the Alley since our first Summer Chills series 12, 13 years ago. And, you know, most of them have a fairly set formula where you have a disparate group of individuals who are in one location and someone gets murdered and then they have to interview all the suspects to determine, you know, figure out, you know, who done it. And in this case, in the case of Witness for the Prosecution, the murder has already been committed before the play starts, and a young man is accused of the murder. And it's about, did he do it? Did he not do it? You know, his wife is going to testify in the trial, but whose side is she going to testify on? And I can't tell you anymore, or it's, you know...
You give away the plot.
I'm going to give away the plot.
Well,
but it is a courtroom drama,
now,
actually.
Is it set in England?
Of course.
So that's why the wife is allowed to testify?
I can't even go into that.
Oh,
I can't
I
even
say,
go into
oh
that.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
there's mystery on top
you know,
of mystery here.
Most the play takes place in... also different from a lot of her plays. It takes place in more than one location. It takes place in the counsel's chambers, in the lawyer's chambers, and then it takes place in the courtroom at the Old Bailey. So alley audiences will see the Old Bailey roll onto stage. It's sort of like sitting there in front of the Titanic as it's coming toward you.
It's a really incredible
set. It's a huge set.
You said your set workers had been doing double time.
Around the clock for about 2 weeks to get this show up.
And did they come out with the robes and the powdered wigs and all of that paraphernalia?
So the attorneys will be in drag?
Kind of. But really bad drag.
Bad drag. Okay.
If you said those Old Bailey wigs are nothing anyone would want to be caught dead in.
No. Now, how many cast members are in this play about?
Ooh, I'd say probably about 20, 25, somewhere along those lines.
You're not the murderer, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
Well, but you know what? You never know. But I have.
But then again,
maybe I'm not. Maybe,
maybe
I could
he
be.
Is, and, and you'll want to go.
Keep up the mystery.
You'll want to find out. So you've been at the alley for many years. What have been some of your favorite roles?
I've got three. One was a show we did in Summer Chills years ago called I Hate Hamlet, and I played the ghost of John Barrymore in that. That's a very funny play. It was also by Paul Rudnick, who wrote Jeffrey.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good playwright for me. And then... And the other two were when we did Art by Yasmina Reza, and I played Serge in Art. And we had two casts. We alternated casts with that. That was a great fun, and particularly because one cast was gay and one cast was straight. So we joked that it was Art and Art Light, and then the straight cast said, "Well, is Art butch and Art
femme?
Bitch."
Oh.
And I said, my retort was, "And you are?"
There you go. Yeah. Snap, snap.
You say it like that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Exactly. And then there was a pair of plays we did a few years ago called House and Garden by Alan Ayckbourn, where they ran simultaneously with the same cast at the same time upstairs and down.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a wonderfully horrible guy named Gavin Ringmain, who was a diplomat and just awful.
Mm-hmm.
And
but what's your favorite role?
I think I saw that one.
Those are the three. Those are the three.
And then there's some that are not.
Well,
quite,
and Sterling and Jeffrey.
Yes.
Not at the alley. Yeah. Yeah.
But and then you're working on another project. I don't know how you do this. You're in a play and you're doing another project. But.
Really? I have a group that I formed 7 years ago in the little spare time I have from the alley that is now called Bayou City Concert Musicals. And we do neglected or seldom performed musicals in concert, and all the proceeds go to charity. And last year, we started a supplementary event, a cabaret at Ovation, sort of our own Night of 100 Stars, except it's usually a dozen. And this year, we're doing an evening of Victor Herbert music. And this is the guy who wrote a lot of the music that Jeanette MacDonald and Nelson Eddy sang in their movies. He's the first great American theater composer. And so we're putting that together. And that's going to be the last two Mondays in June at Ovations in the Village.
Last two Mondays in June. Just on Monday. So
yes,
people
just
will
two Mondays.
Have to make sure they listen to the archive versions of Queer Voices so that they can make that. And, of course, Ovations is over in the Village.
Right next to Main Street Theater.
Isn't it on Time Street?
Yes.
Time and Kirby.
Yes, and we're also doing this fall our main production, which will be in the Heinen Theater at Houston Community College Central Campus. We're doing something of a Houston premiere of a musical called Fiorello that won the Pulitzer Prize in 1959 and tied with The Sound of Music for the Tony Award.
Wow.
And then vanished. And it's a musical about Fiorello LaGuardia, the mayor of New York. It was sort of Tom Bosley's big break, and also it was written by the guys who wrote Fiddler on the Roof later. So it's a wonderful
Isn't
show.
Isn't that strange?
I guess everybody thought it was too New York of a show to do anywhere else.
Uh-huh.
So, at any rate, Well, that's our stuff, and that's September 7th through 10th at the Hynen. But back to the alley. That's enough time about my stuff. Don't get me started. I said, don't, you know, are you sure you want me to talk about this?
Witness for the prosecution.
We're delighted
fundraiser.
To always promote what
that's my other project.
Members of the community are doing and what they're interested in. And is there anything else about witness for the prosecution that you feel like people really need to know about?
Well, Agatha Christie said it was her best play. And, you know, it was made into a very successful film with Marlene Dietrich, Charles Laughton, and Tyrone Power, which was nominated for the Best Picture Oscar. And Charles Laughton was nominated for Best Actor, and it was nominated for Best Director, I believe, Billy Wilder. Directed it. And
Charles Laughton was gay.
Yes, he was. You know, yes, he was. And we're kind of Tyrone Power, too, depending on what biography you read.
There was a bunch of those guys.
Yeah, it's just happening everywhere.
They always come out when they're dead.
That's it. Exactly. But that's one thing. Also, we felt that... we never did witness in the Summer Chills Agatha Christie series because it's such a big play. We felt we couldn't do it justice unless we did it as part of our regular season. So, of course, we're not doing Christie in Summer Chills this year. Matt, perhaps I should say a few words about that.
Sure.
You know, just to give you a little sneak preview about what we're doing this summer, where our theme is what happens when the lights go out.
Mm.
So we're going to start Summer Chills off with Wait Until Dark, the classic thriller.
Yes.
And we're finishing with a wonderful comedy by the guy who wrote Equus and Amadeus, Peter Schaffer, called Black Comedy.
Oh, I love that one. I played a part in that in college.
Okay.
I loved
it. It's a hysterical play.
Oh,
and everyone's in the dark.
You've got to see that one.
Yes. But Witness is sort of the alley at its most opulent, I think. There's no other theater in town that can do a production like this. And with this kind of elaborate technical presentation, and of course, the wonderful company of actors.
Yes, it is an extraordinary company.
And I might add, it's selling quite briskly.
It sure is.
And Agatha Christie considered this her best play. Do you know why she did?
I think, I think it has to do with perhaps the characters are drawn with more depth. And she, of course, had to rigorously research the British legal system, because wasn't used to writing in a courtroom setting. So she wanted to make sure she got all of that right. And it's because it's not a formulaic piece for her. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're going to all gather in the drawing room and all will be revealed. And actually... there are twists in the plot right up to seconds before the final curtain.
Aha, always a good mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a tale of love and betrayal, which is another twist on there being a murder mystery. Well, thank you, Paul Hope Philip Maygard from the Alley Act Out series. Call for tickets, 713-228-8421, or go to www.alleyattheatre.org. And if you're trying to get discounted tickets, enter the promotional code PFLAG. And you're listening to Queer Voices.
Thank you, guys.
And it is now time, as we're just about up with our program this evening, to pledge to KPFT. You know, the internet is a wonderful thing. It's absolutely incredible. But way before the internet was around, there was KPFT, and we're still here. We're still here because it's still important that we're here. It's still here because we're free speech radio. We're still here because we think it is important. We hope you feel the same way. We hope you feel the same way, and you can call us at 713-526-5738. Let's see if the lobby, let's see if we got somebody to thank out there. It sounds like it's pretty quiet out there. And we're asking you, because I know we didn't make our goal so far, we're asking you to call us at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. You know, we only do this a couple times a year. And even while we're doing it, we're still doing programming, and we want to continue on to do that programming.
And, you know, in thinking about pitching for
for doing what we're doing here this evening. I was thinking that one way of putting this is to say that it's not our goal, it's our listeners' goal. It's the goal that the radio station management has set for our listeners to meet.
Very good. It's
for our listeners to meet the goal, and our goal is?
Our goal is for you to call right now. And call us at 713-526-5738. That is the magic number. We say it an awful lot during these pledge drives. And, we just don't do it because we like to do it. We do it because there's a need. About 90% of the money that it costs to run the station, and, a lot of it is donated. Like, we donate our time here at KPFT. And, some people say, well, I can't donate money, but I can donate time. Well, time is not the same thing as money. There's still, you can't quite say that to Reliant Electric Company. We still have to pay our bills. And there's some hefty bills in running that transmitter. There's some hefty bills in keeping the doors open, keeping the air conditioning going. There's no hefty bills in us coming to do Queer Voices because we do it out of the love of our heart to do it. And we feel fortunate to be able to do it. And we really appreciate it. We try to do as professional a job as we can to talk to people within the community. But we're asking you to call us at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
Oh, we're supposed to do something else now?
Well, we're supposed to raise money. That's what we're supposed to do. That is our goal today. And we're not quite doing it as well as we had hoped.
No, and I guess the folks out in the lobby must be really busy answering phones that aren't ringing because they have their mic muted, and so we're not.
Well, maybe everybody is taking cover so much because of the president's speech about bringing the National Guard along the border to save us all from the zero terrorists that went over the Mexican border. It's funny how they sort of phrase all this, yet very, very, very few employers get in trouble for hiring the so-called illegal, although we refer to it as undocumented. But that's a whole other subject. Our subject is talk about the GLBT community, talk about what's going on entertainment-wise, politically, socially,
and we wouldn't have to be here doing this all the time if we got people to call in and meet the pledge, the goal, which is set to our listeners to support the station at the very minimal level at which it does get supported and needs to be supported.
Right, and it's very minimal. It's,
not luxury, that's for sure.
Right, an hour of operating cost at KPFT is probably about one-third the cost of it is at a commercial radio station because we don't have the overhead. We don't have to have salespeople, that's one thing.
Yeah, we're it, baby, we're it.
We don't have the cost of, there's staff here, but the staff is much smaller than most commercial radio stations. And in fact, there's this interesting thing. I do watch the usually 5:30, 6 o'clock morning news on Channel 11. And I noticed that especially now that it's in May sweeps, they have two reporters going out there doing live shots, even though sometimes they're in front of a darkened courthouse that will not be lit for another 2 or 3 hours. But now when they're doing their story, they says, and in 25 minutes, we'll tell you this aspect of the story. It's like, why do you have to wait another 30 minutes, 25 minutes to hear the other part of the story when a majority of that newscast is repetitive anyway?
It's called a hook.
Exactly, exactly. But, of all times, you think they'd spare you a little bit in morning. Usually you only have a few minutes to watch it, and then you're getting ready to go to work or whatever. But we don't do that here, or we try not to do that.
And remember that, anything that's free is worth paying for.
Yes, yes. Well, and, they keep saying that, people wouldn't pay for television. Cable television, satellite television is pretty popular. People wouldn't pay for radio, and satellite radio is becoming popular. And this is free. You can be a freeloader here on KPFT. But we're asking you to step up to your responsibility. Your responsibility to pay a fair amount, a very small amount, if you can, to call us at 713-526-5738, 713-5738.
526 KPFT and help support Pacifica Radio here in Houston.
And of course, there are all kinds of easy and lovely ways that you can do that. You can pledge by EFT, electronic funds transfer. You can pledge on a credit card. You can walk up to the door. You can't just walk in anymore, but you can walk up to the door and you can wave money or a check in the window and somebody will eventually come and open the door.
We've usually had a few anonymouses come in.
Yeah, we have actually.
It doesn't happen as
much.
That's
why we had to put a lock on the door.
And you can also do it online at kpft.org. And if you give during until 10 o'clock, I understand that it will be credited to us. And, you know, we're all in it together. It's not just one show versus another show. It's all the shows together to help support KPFT. There's some really good programming here. Of course, Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! That's on every morning at 9 a.m. And again, they repeat it at 6 p.m. if you can't hear it in the morning. Technology Bites is a wonderful show.
Mm-hmm.
There are many different shows, and usually around this time of evening, Monday through Friday, there's a whole bunch of community fair shows, including the prison program that Ray Hill does and has been doing for many years. And we're just about out of time now because we're going to have to make way for the next program because they got their goal too to meet.
That's right, and I think they only have an hour to do it in.
They have a half hour, I believe.
A half hour. Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Well, again, I don't think we have the actual number in front of us, but it is our challenge to our listeners to meet the goal that has been set for our listeners to support this program and consequently this radio station by calling in and pledging at 713-526-5738. And Deborah is back in front of an open microphone.
That's a scary thought.
Oh, thank you, guys. I just feel the love.
We certainly want to thank our guest tonight.
Yeah, and before we finish off, though,
yeah, it's too early for thinking.
I just want to say, June 5th, 1981, was the announcement by the Centers for Disease Control of the first reported presence of a pneumonia in 5 Los Angeles gay men. And that means that was the start of what is now known as HIV/AIDS.
And how many years ago was that?
25 years. So there's lots of people who no longer can listen to Queer Voices. And we've lost some from this show, including our very special friend, Mike Meesh.
Right. J.D. Doyle pulled up an article from TWIT in 1986, and it was talking about Waldenstein moving to a new time. And Mike Meesh's name was there, and Doug Turner's name was there, and they're both no longer with us.
And then it has this picture that you would not believe of Jack Belinsky and Ray Hill, and it talks about being on Tuesday night from what, 8 to 9?
Something like that, yes.
So, yeah, we've been on just about every night of the week and in different time frames. But just think about the past 25 years and the ones that are no longer here and pledge in their honor. Say thank you. Remember them. Call your pledge. Support KPFT. Support Queer Voices. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. We count on you.
Well, we want to thank our guest tonight, Mike Harrison from the Montrose Counseling Center. Ray Hill, who goes on and on sometimes.
And on and on and on, but we love him to pieces. Phil Maynard and Paul Hope from the Alley Act Out series. And then, of course, the folks at This Way Out and all the good work that they do. And the music, the people that supply the music. Next week, we have a full show for you. And we're going to have Queer Music Heritage the last Monday of the month.
That's May 29th.
Yes, since we'll still be in pledge drive. So listen to us May 22nd, 8 to 10, right here on KPFT, Queer Voices. Pledge and pay your pledge. 713-526-5738.
Bye-bye.
And thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 7 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles.
Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, and Jack Valensky, with remote correspondents Joan Devlin in Iowa and David Elliott in Washington, D.C. For more information about guests, events, and organizations mentioned in the show, visit queervoices.org. Some of the music you heard is listed or available on J.D. Doyle's website, queermusicheritage.org. Be sure to listen every Saturday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
You rely on KPFT when you take a few extra minutes to look back. KPFT helps you make sense of the events that rushed by over the previous days. The voices you hear on KPFT make a difference in how you understand the world. Your daily habit of radio is supported by listeners who make membership contributions.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.